We're finishing Acts 26, verses 21 through 23. This is Paul with his defense before King Agrippa II, and here's what he says. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer and would rise from the dead and would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles. Paul is clearly contextualizing and validating the gospel message through the Old Testament prophecies. He does this for the benefit of King Agrippa because he knows that this king has great knowledge about the Jewish religion. So Paul states the obvious, that the Jewish scriptures predicted the Messiah's coming and that his ministry would extend to the Gentiles. For example, in Isaiah 42:6, we read, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. Similarly, Isaiah 49:6 declares, Is it not enough for you to be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob to restore the protected ones of Israel? I will also make you a light for the nations to bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. So in this defense, Paul does perhaps gloss over the subject of the Messiah as Israel's suffering servant. Some of these prophecies include Isaiah 52:13, which says, Behold, my servant will prosper. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as many were appalled at him, his appearance was disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form was marred beyond human likeness. It would not have been prudent for Paul to try to go into all of this during his defense before Agrippa. The primary reason that Paul alludes to the Old Testament prophecies without citing them specifically is this. Would Herod Agrippa II be familiar with these prophecies? Yes, very likely. But whether he would put any faith in them is a totally different matter. We must remember that his role was that of a client king to the Roman emperor. Beyond that, his incestuous relationship with his sister Bernice says much about the man's true religious life. I think the last sentence of this passage is the most telling. So let's read it again. That the Messiah would suffer as the first to rise from the dead and would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles. Paul references three historic salvific events that Moses and the prophets had predicted. First, that the Messiah would suffer at the hands of his own people. Isaiah would say, We esteemed him not. We believed that he was being punished for his own sins. Second, the prophets predicted that the Messiah would be the first to rise from the dead. Now, we need a little clarification here. Jesus was not the first human to be raised back to life. We have ample examples of that in the Old and New Testament. The emphasis is not just upon a human coming back to life, but the Messiah, having died for the sins of the world, has been raised again to life by his Father. Third, the Messiah would subsequently offer to the Jews and Gentiles eternal life, based upon his own sacrificial death and resurrection. As such, the offer of salvation would extend beyond the Messiah's own people to the greater Gentile world population. We'll finish this up next time on Verse by Verse.